Hello and welcome to another week on News Talk Daily. Today we take a deep dive into the courtroom battles and convictions of one very famous Dubliner, multimillionaire, MMA fighter, pub owner, friend of Trump, hero of Ireland's growing far right, found liable of assault by rape, Conor McGregor. I'm Ciara Doherty, and it looks like Conor McGregor may be spending a lot more time in courtrooms in the coming months, because late last week, the High Court heard that a legal action taken against McGregor by his former friend and former sparring partner, Artem Lobov, is likely to be heard in the autumn. Lobov, who is known as the Russian Hammer, claims that he co-founded Proper No. 12 Whiskey and that he was promised a 5% cut of profits by McGregor whenever the company was sold. And just to remind you, Proximo Spirits paid an estimated €500 million for the whiskey brand back in 2021. So let's face it, if you were made that promise, you would be looking for it to be honoured. But that's up to the courts to decide. Meanwhile, Conor McGregor has not yet been served his summons for a sexual battery civil suit that was lodged against him by a woman who's known as Jane Doe in Miami, Florida, last January. Well, I'm joined today by an excellent guide to take us on a journey through Conor McGregor's rap sheet. Please welcome to News Talk Daily our courts correspondent, Frank Graney. And Frank is also a fellow podcaster, so do be sure to check out his series, Inside the Crime. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Ciara. Thanks for having me.
Delighted to have you on board. You've reported on many, and there have been many, of Conor McGregor's court appearances, and we're going to go through his various brushes with the law in some detail today. But let's start with his most recent visit to the courts and where that case, where that appeal against a civil jury finding in favour of Nikita Hand is at, because there was consternation in the court, I think it's fair to say, over the decision by McGregor's team to withdraw some evidence that they were looking to put forward in the appeal. Bring us through what happened and, more significantly, where we're at now with that appeal.
Well, this appeal was heard before three judges of the Court of Appeal recently. And as we all know by now, Nikita Hand successfully sued Conor McGregor late last year in what was a high profile trial heard before Mr. Justice Alex Owens. It included testimony from Ms. Hand herself. And she told the jury that McGregor, in her words, attacked and brutally raped her in the penthouse suite of the Beacon Hotel. This was back in December of 2018. He denied that. He gave evidence himself, claiming they had rough but consensual sex in the hotel. And in the end, the jury was asked to consider whether he had in fact assaulted her. They found that he had. Damages were awarded to her of just under €250,000. That very same evening, he took to X to indicate his intention to appeal. That came before the courts, albeit in a very different shape to the case his legal team intended to present. In the end, his lawyers argued that he didn't get a fair trial. They took issue with him being cross-examined on his repeated no comment responses during Garda interviews. This was at a time when Garda had arrested him on suspicion of raping Ms. Hand. We all know by now that the DPP decided not to bring a criminal prosecution. This trial was heard before the civil courts. Conor McGregor's lawyers accused the other side of breaking the rules of cross-examination in an effort to, as they put it, unfairly discredit him before the jury. They also took aim at the issue paper given to the jurors before they began their deliberations, accusing the judge of wrongly referring to the claim as assault rather than sexual assault, resulting in, as they argued, the possibility of confusing the jury. The other grounds of appeal related to the availability of expert reports and the judge's directions to the jury before they began their deliberations. Nikita Hand's barristers urged the court to dismiss all grounds of appeal. In relation to McGregor's no comment responses, they claimed that he was the one who opened the door to that line of questioning when he claimed in his direct evidence that he fully cooperated with the investigation. More often than not, this is a live issue during criminal trials where we all have a constitutional right not to incriminate ourselves. And that's why when we are questioned on suspicion of committing a serious offence, we are entitled by law and by the Irish Constitution to not give any comment. And jurors are, particularly in criminal trials, jurors are rarely, if ever, told that an accused person took that stance. Because the obvious inference there is that if somebody isn't commenting or answering questions, there is a suspicion of guilt, and that could obviously be prejudicial. But Nikita Han's lawyers, in relation to this, and albeit we were in a very different arena down in the four courts late last year, but their argument was that they were entitled to ask Conor McGregor about his no comment response because of the fact, in his direct evidence to the jury, he seemed to claim that he was fully cooperative with the investigation, and they felt that that was something that needed to be teased out in front of the jury.
In terms of the evidence that was withdrawn, the Court of Appeal, we understand, will refer documents relating to Conor McGregor's application to withdraw what he claimed was fresh evidence to the Director of Public Prosecutions. What exactly does that mean? What will that involve?
Well, it was truly remarkable. Just before the hearing got underway, Nikita Han's barrister, John Gordon, about 10 minutes before the court sat, was informed of Conor McGregor's side's decision to withdraw an application to bring fresh evidence. Now, it related to sworn statements made by former neighbours of Nikita Han, who claimed they heard and saw things from where they lived in Drimna at the time, across the road from Nikita Han, that led them to believe that she was in a physical row with her then partner. Now, this would have been hours after she left the Beacon Hotel, where she claimed Conor McGregor had attacked and brutally raped her. And I suppose the significance, or the potential significance, of that evidence was that if it had been allowed in, it would have presented a potential alternative explanation for the extensive bruising and other injuries that Nikita Han had and claimed that she had suffered at the hands of Conor McGregor. Now, in the end, as we all know, Conor McGregor's side didn't bring that application. And Nikita Han's side were dissatisfied with that, to put it mildly. And they handed up a number of documents to the judges at the end of the appeal hearing. Now, unfortunately for us, on a very uncomfortable press bench in the Hugh Kennedy Court down in the Four Courts, those documents were not opened in open court because the judges felt that to do so could potentially, and it is important to say potentially, prejudice a potential criminal investigation if the DPP decides to go down that road. So what they did was the judges took away the documents. They considered them in private in their chambers. They spent about an hour or so doing so. They deliberated on them. And when they returned, they simply told both parties that it was their intention to refer the matter to the DPP. Now, the Director of Public Prosecutions doesn't investigate allegations of criminal wrongdoing. That's the job of our police force and Garda Síochána. It's the DPP's job to decide whether criminal prosecutions should be brought. We're obviously not privy to what happens behind closed doors in the DPP's office, but time will tell, and we'll certainly follow it with keen interest, whether an investigation is opened into the alleged perjury and whether that will lead to criminal charges being brought down the line.
Let's go back in time then, Frank. Let's go back, let's say, 7 or 8 years ago, I suppose, at this stage. Conor McGregor had been, prior to that, the absolute top of his game within the UFC. He had just had that huge money fight with Floyd Mayweather. He was worth anywhere between $150 and $250 million, they were saying at the time. But his career really around, I suppose, 2018 started to stall, and that's when we began to see these brushes with the law. Had he been in trouble prior to that?
Not as far as I know, but that period that you're speaking of did certainly represent a seismic shift in Conor McGregor's public and professional life. Make no mistake about it. As you say, he was a colossus in the world of combat sports. In 2015, he became UFC featherweight champion. Less than 1 year later, he became the first ever dual weight champion in UFC history, a remarkable record. His focus then at that point seems to have shifted away from the octagon to the boxing ring for that major money spinning crossover bout with Floyd Mayweather. As you mentioned, he lost that. That was August 2017, but he still walked away with over $100 million. But many would say, certainly insiders in the UFC game would say, that that was the beginning of the end of his sporting career. He didn't defend either of his UFC titles. They were stripped from him. And then it all starts to go wrong in October of 2018, when he makes a long-awaited return to the octagon against his bitter rival, Khabib. McGregor was dominated in that fight. He had to tap out in the fourth round. That was the 6th of October 2018, and by all accounts, that defeat changed everything. 2 months later, he attacked Nikita Hand back in Dublin in that hotel room. And during the civil rape trial that followed some years later, she told the jury that after Conor McGregor pinned her down and started choking her, he made a chilling comparison to his losses in the octagon by saying, "That's how I felt when I was in the octagon and had to tap myself out 3 times. Now, Conor McGregor at trial denied ever saying that.
And he has obviously found himself on the wrong side of the law. I think it's an understatement here in Ireland. But he was also involved in several incidents in 2018 and 2019 in the United States. The first, I think, the one that we will all remember is that bus attack in Brooklyn in April 2018. I remember the footage of him smashing, you know, with real force and violence, the UFC bus. Tell us about what happened and the consequences of that.
Well, this, as you say, was in Brooklyn in New York City. This was 6 months before he lost that big fight against Khabib. It was a UFC media day. Conor McGregor was not at that media event. By then, he hadn't fought in the UFC since November of 2016. But word filtered through that he was on his way from Ireland to confront Khabib. And this was apparently over something that was alleged to have happened in a hotel 2 days earlier between Khabib and a member of McGregor's team, a man called Artem Lobov. The fighters who took part in that media day were about to be bussed away from the event. McGregor arrives, and we've all seen the video footage of him arriving with dozens of his entourage. They appear to storm the basement where a number of buses were sitting idle with fighters on board preparing to depart. What happened next was caught on camera, soon went viral, all hell broke loose. The bus that Khabib was sitting on was targeted with items, including a metal trolley. It was thrown at the windows. Some damage was caused to the bus. One of the fighters on board, a man called Michael Chiesa, got a nasty cut to the forehead when a window was shattered. McGregor handed himself in later that day. He was initially charged with a number of serious offences, including assault, criminal mischief, reckless endangerment. He was kept behind bars that night, appeared before a judge the following morning. A plea deal was made, and in the end, he pleaded guilty to one count of disorderly conduct. Everything else was dropped. He didn't do any jail time aside from that one night that he spent behind bars. Instead, he had to do 5 days of community service. He also had to undergo anger management classes. The community service involved performing manual labour and assisting with the day-to-day chores and maintenance of a number of churches in Brooklyn. That was his first major brush with the law stateside.
Closer to home, Frank, in 2019, there was more CCTV footage, and this time it emerged with Conor McGregor assaulting a customer in the Marble Arch pub, which is in Drimna. Tell us more about that incident and what the court decided.
Well, a trial wasn't required in the end because Conor McGregor on this occasion did put his hands up and admitted wrongdoing and said he was very sorry for what happened to Mr. Keogh in the pub. This all happened on the 6th of April 2019. Conor McGregor was out promoting his whiskey, offering free shots of proper number 12. And one of the locals who was in the bar that day, Des Keogh, was seated at the bar enjoying a pint. CCTV footage was harvested from the pub. I've seen it myself. It was shown at his sentence hearing, and it shows Conor McGregor entering the pub with two of his minders at about 2:30 in the afternoon. He starts pouring glasses of his whiskey for those in the bar. Des Keogh declined several offers to try it. And at one point, Conor McGregor could be seen on that CCTV footage slamming a glass down on the bar in front of him before moving away. He then returns. He's clearly seen punching Mr. Keogh with a closed fist to the left side of his face, while Mr. Keogh was looking in the other direction. His security men then quickly usher him outside to a waiting car. And in fairness to Mr. Keogh, he didn't seem too fazed by the punch. He didn't hit the ground as you'd expect from taking a punch from a UFC fighter. He didn't even spill a drop of his pint. McGregor later pleaded guilty to assault. He publicly apologised to Mr. Keogh. He was fined €1,000. And the court also heard that an undisclosed sum was paid to Des Keogh. The judge opted against a prison sentence as a result of that, and also because of his plea of remorse. In court, Conor McGregor said that what he did was very wrong, and he assured the judge that nothing of that nature will happen again.
He's also known for his love of expensive, fast cars. He's been before judges here in Ireland on numerous occasions. Again, you've reported on some of these. November 2017, he pleaded guilty to exceeding the speed limit, fined €400. November 2018, pleaded guilty again to speeding, fined €1,000. That time he was disqualified for 6 months. And there was two more cases after that.
Yeah, and I suppose the most significant was in March of 2022, when a Garda had to drive at high speed at 160 kilometres an hour to catch Conor McGregor in his Bentley sports car. On that occasion, he jumped a red light. He weaved in and out of traffic at speed, almost caused a collision. He drove down a 24-hour bus lane in Lucan. And the Garda, who eventually caught up with him, had to tell McGregor six or seven times to get out of his car. And in relation to that, the judge considered sending him to prison. The judge was appalled by this series of driving offences, but opted instead for a five-month suspended sentence. He was also fined €5,000 and banned from driving for 2 years. The judge was horrified by the evidence that was heard at that sentence hearing. But I suppose when it came to constructing an appropriate sentence, the judge did accept Conor McGregor's remorse as genuine and opted against a custodial sentence, but did consider strongly handing one down, but instead opted for a 5 month suspended.
You were there, as I said, for some of these trials. I know you actually sat beside McGregor in court at one stage. How would you describe him and his attitude to these proceedings?
Well, in terms of the various driving offences that he's appeared in court over the years in relation to, he certainly likes to make an entrance. I remember one of his court appearances in Blanchardstown when he roared up to the door in a BMW i8 sports car, dressed in a green Adidas tracksuit. And that was in relation to his speeding in Rathcoole, for which he was fined €400. He was actually due in court that morning, but instead sent a solicitor in his place. And the judge was very unhappy with that arrangement, insisted that Conor McGregor attend in person to meet the case, refused to deal with it in his absence, and even threatened to issue a bench warrant for his arrest if he didn't turn up, which he eventually did that afternoon. After that particular court appearance, he posted some photographs on Instagram with the hashtag #RelaxJudge, which I suppose gave some insight into his attitude towards what had unfolded in court earlier in the day. There was also, I remember, an interesting exchange between him and the judge when he was asked how much he earned. And that's a question that a judge will often ask of an offender when they've pleaded guilty to a crime. And I suppose it comes to constructing the a suitable fine and a payment arrangement. And when the judge asked him that question, she warned him not to say 110 million in one day. And I suppose that was a tongue-in-cheek reference to his big payday against Floyd Mayweather. To that, Conor McGregor laughed and corrected the judge by saying 140. He also burst out laughing when the judge told him that he could pay the €400 fine in installments if he so wished. This is one of the wealthiest sports people on the planet. But these were light-hearted exchanges. He did seem sincere when he apologised for not showing up to court earlier that day, told the judge that he wanted to show his respect by attending in court, and did say that he would pay that €400 fine.
His influence on MMA and on the sports scene in general is certainly diminishing, I think would be a nice way of putting it. But outside of that, he is now seen as a real figurehead amongst the far right movement here in Ireland and indeed abroad. I mean, he made some comments around the time of the Dublin riots in 2023, which did lead to a complaint being made to the guards alleging incitement to hatred. But in that case, the DPP decided not to pursue a prosecution.
Following those violent disturbances in the heart of Dublin City, he took to X. He posted a number of things. Ireland, we are at war. Do not let any Irish property be taken over unannounced. Evacuate said property. It's a war. Those comments were reviewed for possible incitement of hatred or violence. The case was referred to the DPP. But earlier this year, a decision was made not to pursue a prosecution because the posts didn't meet the necessary a threshold to bring a criminal prosecution. And after that decision was made, Conor McGregor again took to his account to say, they'll have to kill me to stop me. So while the DPP did look into those comments online, those comments that were posted in the middle of those riots, in the end, no criminal charges or prosecution was brought.
One of the things he has said he wants to do now in Ireland is contest the presidential election, but it is widely regarded as being impossible for him because he's not going to get the endorsement that he needs from the Oireachtas or indeed from the local authorities. But he has been endorsed by Trump. It looks like internationally, certainly, and among those who support that sort of far right rhetoric, these convictions haven't dented his popularity at all.
No, they don't seem to have. Conor McGregor has attracted a legion of devoted fans, and many of those fans will follow him and support him, seemingly no matter what he gets up to. The verdict's decision in relation to the civil, or the jury's decision in relation to the civil rape trial, was a turning point in terms of reputational damage. It certainly hit him in the pocket hard. It's a man that's, you know, has very deep pockets, obviously. He suffered significant brand damage. Many business partners of his seemingly sought to put some distance between themselves and Conor McGregor.
He has also played host to a number of far-right figures in his pub. He's hosted Tucker Carlson, the former Fox News host and conservative spokesperson. He's trying, I suppose, to engender support and to be this leader amongst that movement in Ireland. But do you think he'll ever get a political breakthrough?
Well, certainly it would be a very, very difficult challenge. But in terms of popular vote and whether Conor McGregor would be elected to a public office, yes, he does have a lot of support stateside, worldwide, and here at home by those devoted fans who can see no wrong in what Conor McGregor does inside and outside of the sporting arena. But in terms of his popularity in Ireland, and I suppose in terms of his reputation, I'm reminded of his introduction to the crowd ahead of the fight, that fight that he famously lost against Khabib. The pride of Ireland was how he was described. That title would not have been up for debate once upon a time, but I think the jury's out on that one now in light of all that's happened since. And it's such a shame because all of his achievements in the octagon, with the tricolour draped across his shoulders for the world to see, will forever be tarnished by all of these brushes with the law. He had the potential to be an inspiration to so many, but that has somewhat faded away in light of all of these controversies. As to whether or not he would be elected to public office, personally, I find that that would be his greatest challenge to date.
Frank Graney, Courts Correspondent here at News Talk. Thank you.
Thanks, Ciara.
That's it for today. Thanks very much, as always, for your company. If you enjoy News Talk Daily, please be sure to give us a like or follow on the Go Loud app or wherever it is that you get your podcasts. From me, Ciara Doherty, enjoy the rest of your day.